Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves. You're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry the Bahamas and USA.
Hello, friends. Again, we'll keep this brief. As of the 8th, the GoFundMe campaign is nearing 80% of the $10,000 goal. Last week, a few people asked, what exactly is this for? So here's the gist. Slowdowns everywhere caused payroll to exceed revenue and left us deep in the red. On top of that, our boss, who is struggling not to lay anyone off, is going through some hard times. What you're doing by donating is helping to ensure that all we narrators, authors, producers, and other behind-the-scenes folks get to continue bringing you the entertainment you enjoy. We'll come out on the other end of this eventually, hopefully with minimal damage. In the meantime, your help is genuinely appreciated. You can link to the GoFundMe page by visiting helpchillin.org. All capitals, HELPCHILLING.ORG. Welcome back, friend. We're in the thick of September here, bound for the spooky season. Moreover, we've got some holidays for you. It's National Bald is Beautiful Day, which Jeff is pretty happy about. Be sure to tell him how gorgeous he is with that big, beautiful cue ball head. And more importantly, it's National Hug Your Boss Day. Normally, I don't think that's always such a good idea, especially with the bosses I've had. But since I'm essentially self-employed, I guess you already know how I'm gonna celebrate. Whoa, down boy. I'm not your boss, just your damn meal ticket. Well, let's head in, friend, unless you want leeches in your shirt pockets. All right. And hey, just a little reminder. Becoming a patron is another way to help out. Just visit simplyscarypodcast.com, hit the Patrons area button, and it'll take you through the rest. You get our entire catalog ad-free. Good stuff. All right, so tonight we've got a unique take on frontier fiction from a new author to the show, D.R. Wisniewski. In this one, we join a young barkeep about to witness something that drastically alters the course of his life. So, without further delay, from author D.R. Wisniewski, I give you The Gunslinger. Chapter 1. The day the stranger walked into the Dusty Boots Saloon, I knew something was different. There was a stillness about him, like the calm before a storm. His boots didn't creak on the warped floorboards, and the jingle of his spurs seemed to fade into nothing as he approached the bar. The air itself felt charged, as if lightning was about to strike. For a moment, I could have sworn I saw something shimmer around him, like heat waves on a desert horizon. And when he moved, it was as if the very air parted to make way for him. I was just a boy then, barely 16, polishing glasses behind the counter. My pa had told me to keep my head down and my ears open. In a place like this, information was as valuable as gold. The dusty boots wasn't much to look at, all weathered wood and stale smoke, with a mirror behind the bar so cloudy you could barely see your reflection. But it was the heart of our little town, where secrets were traded as freely as whiskey. The stranger's eyes met mine for just a moment. They were the color of faded denim, weathered by years I couldn't begin to imagine. But it wasn't the color that caught me. It was the depth. Those eyes had seen things. Terrible things. Beautiful things. Things that would make a man question his very existence. He nodded, just slightly, then turned his attention to the card game in the corner. Four men sat around a table, their faces hard and mean as sun-baked clay. I recognized them all, local troublemakers who fancied themselves outlaws. They were the type of men my pa warned me about, the kind who'd shoot you as soon as look at you if they thought they could get away with it. Hank was the biggest of the lot, a mountain of a man with hands like ham hocks and a temper to match. Next to him sat Slim, a weasel of a man with beady eyes and fingers that never seemed to stop moving. Then there was Red, aptly named for his fiery hair and equally fiery disposition. The last was the man everyone just called Preacher, though I'd never seen him step foot in a church. He had a Bible verse for every occasion, usually twisted to justify whatever meanness he was about to commit.
"Room for one more?"
the stranger asked. His voice was low and rough, like gravel in a tin can. It carried across the room, cutting through the din of clinking glasses and drunken laughter. The men looked up, sizing them up. I could see the glint in their eyes. Here was fresh meat, a new mark to fleece. The stranger stood tall, his duster coat hanging loose enough to hide whatever weapons he might be carrying. His hat was pulled low, casting shadows over his face, but I could see the glint of his eyes beneath the brim.
"Why, pull up a chair, friend,"
Hank said, his voice dripping with false hospitality.
"Hope you brought plenty of coin."
The stranger sat, his movements fluid and controlled. He placed a stack of coins on the table, the gold glinting in the dim lamplight. The pile was impressive, more money than most folks in these parts saw in a month.
"Mighty confident, ain't you?"
Slim chuckled, his eyes fixed on the gold.
"You do know how to play, don't you?"
"I've played a hand or two,"
the stranger replied, his face unreadable. His fingers, I noticed, were calloused and scarred, the hands of a man who had seen his share of hard work and harder fights. They dealt the cards, 5-card draw. I watched from the bar, pretending to wipe the same glass over and over. Paul always said I had a talent for being invisible when I needed to be, and right now, I needed to see how this played out. The game started slow, with small bets and cautious plays. The air grew thick with cigar smoke and tension. I could hear the clink of glasses, the murmur of conversations around the saloon, but it all seemed distant, unimportant. My focus, like everyone else's, was on the table in the corner. As the night wore on, the stakes grew higher. The stranger didn't say much, just called or raised when it was his turn. But he was winning, consistently. The pile of coins in front of him grew larger with each hand, while the other men's stacks dwindled. I could see the anger building in their eyes, the set of their jaws growing tighter with each loss. Hank's meaty hands were clenched into fists, his knuckles white. Slim's thin lips were pressed into a hard line, his beady eyes darting between his cards and the stranger. Red's face was nearly as bright as his hair, a vein throbbing in his temple. Even Preacher, usually so composed, was sweating, his collar damp and tied around his neck.
"You're mighty lucky, stranger,"
Hank growled after a particularly large paw went to the newcomer. The words came out as an obvious threat.
"Almost too lucky, if you ask me."
The stranger just shrugged, gathering his winnings. The coins clinked softly as he stacked them, the sound somehow ominous in the tense quiet that had fallen over the saloon.
"Luck's got nothing to do with it."
That's when I saw it, the glint of a card slipping from Slim's sleeve. He thought he was being clever, but in the mirror behind the bar, it was as clear as day. My heart began to race. I'd seen men killed for less in this very room.
"You cheating son of a—"
Slim started to say, half rising from his chair. His hand was moving towards his gun, but he might as well have been moving through molasses. What happened next, I still can't rightly explain. It was like time itself slowed down. The stranger's hands moved in a blur, and suddenly, there was a gun in each one. I didn't even see him draw. They just appeared, as if by magic, gleaming dully in the lamplight. Four shots rang out so close together they were almost one continuous sound. The noise was deafening in the enclosed space of the saloon, and for a moment, everything seemed to freeze. Hank and his boys barely had time to reach for their own weapons before they were fallen. Red bloom spread across their chests, stark against the dusty colors of their shirts. Hank's eyes were wide with surprise, as if he couldn't believe what was happening. Slim's mouth was still open, his unfinished accusation dying on his lips. Red toppled backwards, his chair clattering to the floor. Preacher clutched at his chest, a Bible verse escaping his lips in a final gasping whisper. The saloon erupted into chaos. People screamed, chairs toppled, and drinks spilled across the floor. The smell of gunpowder and spilled whiskey. Men and women rushed for the doors, tripping over each other in their haste to escape. But the stranger just stood there, calm as could be, smoke curling from the barrels of his guns. He surveyed the scene with those faded blue eyes, and just for a heartbeat, they seemed to hold the depth of a starry night sky, vast and unfathomable. He holstered his weapons with the same fluid grace with which he had drawn them. The guns disappeared beneath his coat, hidden once more. Then he turned to the bar. Our eyes met again, and this time I saw something in them. Not remorse exactly, but a weariness that seemed to go soul deep. It was the look of a man who had seen too much, done too much, and carried the weight of it all on his shoulders.
"Sorry about the mess,"
he said, his voice soft but carrying in the sudden silence of the saloon. He tossed a few extra coins on the bar, more than enough to cover the damage and then some. The gold clinked against the wood, the sound impossibly loud in the quiet room. Then he turned and walked out, his spurs jingling with each step. The batwing door swung shut behind them, and just like that, he was gone.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
He left nothing behind but four corpses, a stunned silence, and a mystery that would haunt me for the next 20 years. As the shock began to wear off and people started to move again, I couldn't shake the feeling that I'd witnessed something extraordinary. Something that went beyond fast draws and lucky shots. There was a story there, hidden behind those weary blue eyes and lightning-fast hands. I didn't know then how that moment would shape my life, how the memory of that stranger would drive me across the years and miles. But even as Paul came rushing in, as the sheriff was called, as the bodies were carried out, I knew one thing for certain. I'd seen something that day that I'd never seen before and might never see again. A man who moved like lightning and shot like thunder. A man who carried death in his hands and sorrow in his eyes. A man who was more legend than flesh and blood. And somehow I knew our paths would cross again. It might take years. It might take decades, but I'd see that stranger again. And when I did, I'd be ready. Ready to uncover the mystery. Ready to understand the man behind the guns. Little did I know how long that wait would be, or how it would consume my every waking moment. The stranger had ridden out of town, but he had left his shadow behind. And I was caught in it, unable and unwilling to step back into the light. Chapter 2. 20 years. It's been 20 long years since that day in the Dusty Boots Saloon, and yet it feels like yesterday. The memory of the stranger, his lightning-fast draw, and those four shots that rang out as one, it's all etched into my mind like a brand. As I sit here in this nameless saloon, nursing a beer I can barely afford, I can't help but dwell on the true nature of my obsession. It's not just about solving a mystery or satisfying my curiosity. No. What's driven me all these years is the promise of power. The kind of power that could change a man's life in the blink of an eye. I've spent countless nights imagining what I could do with the stranger's abilities. The speed to outdraw any man. The accuracy to never miss a shot. The almost supernatural intuition at the card table. With skills like that, I could have anything I want. Money would flow like water, and no one would dare stand in my way. How many times have I fantasized about walking into a high-stakes poker game knowing I couldn't lose? Or facing down a band of outlaws, my guns blazing with unerring precision? The fame, the fortune, the respect, it would all be mine for the taking. That's what keeps me going, what makes me scan every face in every dusty town I pass through. I'm not just looking for answers. I'm looking for power. The kind of power that could lift me out of this hand-to-mouth existence and set me up for life. It's a seductive dream and one I can't seem to shake. Even now, as I watch the meager pile of coins in front of me dwindle, I tell myself it's worth it. One day I'll have the stranger's secrets, and then I'll never have to worry about money again. I'll have everything I've ever wanted, everything I deserve. There's always that small voice in the back of my mind, of course, the one I try my best to ignore. It whispers that power always comes with a price, that nothing in this world is truly free. I push the thought away, drowning it in another swig of warm beer. After all, what price could be too high for the kind of power I seek?
You want another, mister?
The bartender's voice cuts through my reverie. He's a young fella, probably about the age I was when it all began.
I shake my head. No, I'm fine. My voice is rough from disuse. I don't talk much these days. There's no point when the only conversation I want to have is with the man I can't find. The saloon around me is a cacophony of life. Men laughing, arguing over cards, flirting with painted ladies. The piano in the corner plays a jaunty tune that seems at odds with the heaviness in my heart. It's a scene I've witnessed 1,000 times in 1,000 different places. But it's never the scene I'm looking for. I've visited so many saloons, sat at so many card tables. I've learned to play 5-card draw better than most, hoping that somehow, someday, I'd find myself across the table from him again. I've chased every rumor, every whispered story of a fast draw and a quiet stranger, but they've all led nowhere. My fingers absently trace the rim of my beer mug. The condensation leaves a damp trail on the worn wood of the bar. I'm tired, bone deep, soul-crushing tired, but I won't stop looking until I find him. Until I understand what made him so fast, so deadly. How could he shoot 4 men before they could even draw? These questions have consumed me, driven me, haunted my dreams and waking hours alike. I've neglected everything else in pursuit of answers. Family, friends, the chance at a normal life, all sacrificed on the altar of my obsession. Paul died 5 years back. I wasn't there. Couldn't be there. I was chasing a lead in some dusty town whose name I can't even remember now. Ma never forgave me for that. Not that I blame her. A commotion at the door draws my attention. For a moment, my heart leaps into my throat. But no, it's just another dusty traveler, seeking refuge from the heat and a place to wet his whistle.
You all right there, mister?
It's the bartender again. He's eyeing me with a mixture of concern and wariness. I must look a sight. A broken-down old man with nothing but ghosts for company. I manage a wan smile.
I'm fine. Just thinking.
He nods, though I can tell he doesn't understand. How could anyone understand the weight of a 20-year quest, a life given over to the pursuit of a single moment, a single man? I'm about to call it a night. To drag my weary bones back to the flop house I call home these days. When the batwing doors swing open once more, and suddenly, the world stops. He walks in, and it's like the 20 past years never happened. He looks exactly the same weather duster, the same hat pulled low over his eyes. Those eyes, when they sweep the room, are still that faded denim blue. There's no recognition in them when they pass over me. Why would there be? I'm no longer the boy he saw that day. I'm just another worn-out old man in a saloon full of them. But I know him. Every line of his face, every movement of his body. It's all seared into my memory. My hands began to shake. My breath comes short and fast. This is it. This is the moment I've been waiting for 20 long years. He moves to the bar and I hear that voice again, rough like gravel in a tin can.
Whiskey. Neat.
The bartender hurries to comply, and I watch as the stranger throws back his drink in one smooth motion. He's about to order another when I finally found my voice.
I've been looking for you, I say.
He turns, those blue eyes fixing on me with an intensity that steals my breath. For a long moment, he says nothing. Then slowly,
A flicker of recognition crosses his face.
The boy,
he says. It's not a question.
From the dusty boot.
I nod, unable to speak. My throat is tight with emotion, relief, excitement, fear. What do you say to the man who's been the center of your existence for 20 years? How do you begin to ask the questions that have burned in your mind for so long? But when I finally find my voice, the words tumble out in a rush.
How did you do it? That day in the saloon, it was impossible. I need to know. Please.
The stranger's voice remains impassive. Those faded eyes revealing nothing.
Some things are better left unknown, boy.
Desperation claws at my insides. I can't let him slip away, not after all this time. An idea forms, born of years spent in saloons just like this one.
How about a game?
I suggest, my voice trembling slightly.
One hand, a five-card draw. If I win, you tell me your secrets.
For a moment, I think he'll refuse. But then a ghost of a smile flickers across his face.
And if I win?
I swallow hard.
Name your price.
He considers for a moment, then nods.
If I win, you'll owe me a favor. I'll claim it when the time is right. And when I do, I'll tell you what you want to know.
It's the devil's bargain if I've ever heard one. But I don't hesitate.
Deal.
We move to a table in the corner. The rest of the saloon fades away as he shuffles the cards with practiced ease. I can feel my heart pounding as he deals. Five cards face down. A lifetime of searching distilled into this one moment. I pick up my hand. Two pair, aces and eights, the dead man's hand. It seems fitting somehow. I discard one, drawing another ace, three of a kind. It's a strong hand, stronger than most I've held in my life. But when I look up, I know it's not enough. There's a certainty in his eyes, a calm that tells me everything I need to know before he even lays down his cards. A full house. Kings over queens.
Looks like you owe me a favor.
I nod, disappointment and anticipation warring in my chest.
When?
I ask.
When will you claim it?
He stands, adjusting his hat.
We'll meet again, my friend. When the time is right.
Before I can say another word, he's moving towards the door. I scramble to my feet, following him.
Wait!
I call out.
When can I expect you?
But as I push through the batwing doors, I'm met with nothing. The street is empty. No sign of the stranger anywhere. No pounding of horse hooves. No running footsteps. It's like he disappeared into thin air. I stand there, the cool night air washing over me. He's gone again. Slipped through my fingers like smoke. But this time I have something I didn't have before. A promise.
We'll meet again.
He had said, and as I stand there staring at the empty street where the stranger had impossibly vanished, I can't shake the feeling that I'd brushed against something vast and incomprehensible. Something that exists beyond the boundaries of the world I thought I knew. Chapter 3. The promise of "We'll meet again" lingers in my mind like the last notes of a half-remembered song. But as days blend into weeks and weeks into months, the burning obsession that's driven me for 2 decades begins to cool. The encounter in that dusty saloon, brief as it was, has shifted something inside me. It's as if seeing him again, knowing he's real and not just a figment of my imagination, has allowed me to finally exhale a breath I've been holding for 20 years. I find myself in a small town called Willow Creek, not too different from 100 others I've passed through. But this time, as I watch the sunset over the rolling hills dotted with grazing cattle, I feel something I haven't felt in years. A desire to stay put. The realization hits me like a thunderbolt. All these years I've been chasing a ghost, subsisting on odd jobs and the scraps of a dream. Why work so hard? Why settle down? I'd ask myself. Once I learned the secrets of the mysterious man, I'd have all the money I could ever dream of. But now, with the promise of a future encounter hanging in the air like mist, with no way to know when it might materialize, I find myself longing for something more solid. It's time, I decide, to put down some roots. I hear they're looking for hands at the Thompson Ranch just outside of town. The next morning, I make my way there, the gravel crunching under my boots as I approach the weathered farmhouse. Old man Thompson, his face as lined and leathery as an old saddle, eyes me warily.
You ever worked a ranch before?
He asks. I nod, thinking of the skills I've picked up in my years of wandering.
Yes, sir. I can ride, rope, and wrangle with the best of them.
He considers for a moment, then jerks his thumb towards the barn.
There's a spare room up in the loft. It ain't much, but it's yours if you want it. For now, at least. We'll see how you do.
And just like that, I have a job and a place to call home. The work is hard, harder than anything I've done in years. My hands blister and callous. My muscles ache in ways I'd forgotten they could. But there's a satisfaction in it, a sense of purpose that fills a void I didn't even know I had. Each day I rise before the sun, tending to the animals, mending fences, and driving cattle across the vast expanse of the Thompson land. Old man Thompson watches me closely those first few weeks, but as time passes, I see something like approval in his gaze.
You're a good worker,
he tells me one evening as we sit on the porch, watching the sky turn from gold to deep purple.
I don't know what you're running from, son, but you're welcome here as long as you need.
I don't correct them. Running towards something is what I've been doing all these years. Nowadays, I'm just waiting for it to run back to me, though what exactly that is, I'm not sure. It's on a crisp autumn morning that I first see her. Sarah Thompson, the old man's daughter, returning from a stay with relatives back east. She rides up to the house on a dappled mare, her hair the color of wheat in the sunlight, her laugh carrying across the yard like music. Our eyes meet, and for a moment I forget to breathe. It's not like the jolt of recognition I felt with the mysterious stranger. This is something different, something warm and bright that spreads through my chest like whiskey. Sarah dismounts gracefully, and I step forward to take the reins of her horse.
I don't believe we've met,
she says, her voice as warm as her smile.
I'm Sarah Thompson.
John, I reply. John Miller. I work for your father.
Well, John Miller,
she says.
I hope you'll be staying around for a while.
And just like that, I know I will be. The days take on a new rhythm. Work is still hard, but now there are stolen moments with Sarah. Shared glances across the dinner table. Conversations as we work side by side in the barn. walks under the star-studded sky. I find myself smiling more, laughing in a way I'd almost forgotten how. Old Man Thompson watches us with a mixture of amusement and concern. One evening, as we sit cleaning our rifles, he clears his throat.
Sarah's a special girl, he says. Don't you go breaking her heart.
I meet his gaze steadily. I don't intend to, sir. He nods, seemingly satisfied.
Good. 'Cause I'd hate to have to shoot my best ranch hand.
Months pass, and my feelings for Sarah grow deeper. The mystery of the stranger and his promise fades into the background, like a dream half remembered upon waking. I think of him sometimes, wonder when or if he'll appear to collect on that debt. But those thoughts no longer consume me. On a warm spring evening, down by the creek that gives the town its name, I ask Sarah to marry me. She says yes, her eyes shining with tears. I feel a sense of rightness, of coming home, one that I've never known before. We marry in the fall, in a small ceremony behind the farmhouse. Sarah is radiant in a simple white dress, flowers in her hair. As we exchange vows, I silently make another one. I vow to leave the past behind, to focus on the future we're building together. Past obsessions forgotten. Time seems to speed up after that. Before I know it, Sarah's belly is swelling with our child. I spend my evenings talking to her stomach, marveling at the miracle growing within. When our son is born, red-faced and squalling, I hold him in my arms and feel a love so fierce it takes my breath away. We name him Thomas after Sarah's father. As I watch him grow, taking his first steps, saying his first words, I sometimes think of the life I left behind. The endless wandering, the obsession that drove me for so long. I never tell Sarah about the mysterious man or the promise that still hangs over me. It seems like another lifetime, one best left in the past. Years go by, and the Thompson Ranch prospers. Old Man Thompson, now stooped and gray but still sharp as a tack, starts to hand over more responsibility to me.
You got a good head for business, John, he tells me. This place will be yours someday.
The thought fills me with pride and a sense of belonging I never thought I'd have. This is my home now. These people, my family. The restlessness that once drove me has been replaced by a deep contentment. But sometimes, on quiet nights when the house is still and dark, I find myself standing by the window, looking out at the starlit prairie. And I wonder, with a mixture of anticipation and dread, when the mysterious stranger will ride back into my life. For I know, deep in my bones, that our story isn't over yet. The debt remains unpaid. And strangely, what makes me even uneasier than that, the secret still remains untold. Chapter 4. Life has a way of sneaking up on you, of turning your world upside down when you least expect it. 4 years have passed since the day in the saloon. 4 years of building a life I never thought I'd have. Sarah and I, we've settled into a rhythm, a dance of shared responsibilities and moments of joy. Our son Thomas is 4 now, a whirlwind of energy and curiosity that often leaves me breathless and laughing. My thoughts these days rarely stray to the mysterious gunslinger or the promise that hangs over me. I'm too busy mending fences, breaking horses, and chasing after a toddler who seems to think he can outrun the wind. Sarah and I talk of expanding the ranch, of maybe having another child. The future stretches out before us, full of promise. Still, in the quiet moments just before dawn, I sometimes find myself standing on the porch, looking out over the land that's become my home. And I can't help but wonder when the debt will come due, and what that favor will entail. I wonder and wonder, until the day finally comes.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
The knock comes in the dead of night. A sound so loud and insistent, it jerks me from a deep sleep. For a moment, I'm disoriented, and the remnants of a dream clinging to the edges of my consciousness. But then I hear it again. A heavy rhythmic pounding that seems to shake the very foundations of our home. Beside me, Sarah doesn't stir.
Honey,
I whisper, reaching out to touch her shoulder. She doesn't respond. My heart begins to race as I realize she's not breathing. I press my fingers to her neck, searching desperately for a pulse, but there's nothing. And yet, she's warm, as if life still clings to her, suspended in some impossible moment. Panic rises in my throat as I stumble out of bed, rushing to check on Thomas. Our boy lies in his bed, his chest eerily still. But like Sarah, he's warm to the touch, his skin flushed with life. It all comes together when I notice the stillness, the absolute unnatural quiet that has fallen over everything. Dust motes hang suspended in the air, caught in the pale moonlight streaming through the window. I glance at the clock on the wall. The second hand isn't moving. Time has stopped. The knock comes again, and this time, I know. I've been waiting for this moment for 4 years, dreading it, even as part of me longed for it, or at least longed for it to be over and done with. I make my way to the front door and pull it open. He stands there, exactly as I remember him. The mysterious gunslinger, his eyes that faded denim blue.
It's time, he says. That favor you owe me.
I step outside, closing the door softly behind me.
What have you done?
I ask. He sighs, and for the first time, I see the weight of years, no, centuries in his eyes.
I've grown weary,
he says, looking out over the frozen landscape.
Weary of wandering the cosmic tapestry, of carrying this burden. For eons, I've roamed not just this land, but the very fabric of reality itself.
As he speaks, the truth of his existence unfolds before me, a truth so vast and incomprehensible that my mind struggles to grasp it. He tells me of powers beyond mortal ken, of magic that defies not just the laws of nature, but the very concept of law itself. He speaks of an ability to move not just through time, but between the very strands of existence.
I am a cosmic caretaker,
he explains, his words seeming to echo from everywhere and nowhere at once.
A guardian of the spaces between spaces. A shepherd of realities too fragile for mortal minds to comprehend. I walk the paths between worlds, mending tears in the fabric of existence, guiding lost souls back to their proper place in the grand design.
He tells me of beings beyond imagination, of conflicts played out on a scale that makes our wars look like children's squabbles. He speaks of a balance that must be maintained, of forces that would unravel the very threads of reality if left unchecked.
"And now,"
he says, his voice heavy with finality,
"it's time for me to pass this burden on to you."
As the weight of his words settles over me, a bitter laugh escapes my lips. The gunslinger raises an eyebrow, waiting. All those years chasing after power, dreaming of easy money. But I have a life now, a real life, one I wouldn't give up for anything. The gunslinger's eyes, ancient and knowing, bore into mine.
"It's time."
"No," I say, backing away. The word comes out as barely more than a whisper at first. But I say it again, louder.
"No, I won't do it. I can't. I have a family, a life here. You can't ask this of me."
But even as the words leave my mouth, I see the futility of my refusal in his eyes.
"The deal is sealed," he says. "It was sealed the moment you agreed to that game of cards, all those years ago. This isn't a choice, son. It's a cosmic fact."
"Then I choose death,"
I spit it out.
"I can't bear to leave them."
He shakes his head slowly.
"Death is no longer an option for you. It hasn't been since that night in the saloon. Even if you were to try to die, you'd find yourself unable. This burden, it's fundamental."
The weight of his words crashes over me, and I feel my knees go weak.
"Then, what hope is there?"
I ask. The gunslinger's eyes soften, just a fraction.
"The same hope that sustained me all these years. One day you might find another soul. Someone driven by the same curiosity and greed that led you to make that deal with me. If you're fortunate, you might pass this burden on. Same as I'm doing now."
"And until then?"
"Until then, you roam. You watch. You maintain the balance and search for your successor. It's a lonely existence, I won't lie to you, but it's a necessary one."
Slowly, deliberately, he removes his leather duster and gun belt. He holds them out to me, these symbols of a power and responsibility I never truly understood.
"Take them,"
he says.
"With these, you take on the mantle. And our other deal. The secrets."
With trembling hands, I accept the items. The moment they're in my grasp, I feel it. A surge of power. Of knowledge. Of terrible yet wondrous awareness. The universe expands before me. Secrets unfolding like the petals of some cosmic flower. I look back at the gunslinger, a question forming on my lips. But he's already fading, his body turning to sand that scatters on a wind I can't feel. His last words echo in the stillness.
"The cosmic tapestry awaits, gunslinger. May you fare better than I."
And then he's gone. I stand there for a long moment, the weight of my new reality settling over me like a shroud. I think of Sarah, of Thomas, of the life I've built here, of the 20 years I spent searching for knowledge man was never meant to have. And now I understand why. With a heavy heart, I don the duster and strap on the gun belt. They fit perfectly, as if they were always meant for me. I take one last look at the house, knowing I'll carry the memory of my family with me through the endless years to come. Then I turn and walk away. Each step takes me further from everything I've ever known, further into the realm I'd condemned myself to. The stars above me are unmoving, frozen pinpoints of light in an uncaring universe. There's no sound as I mount a horse that appears from the shadows. No creak of leather. Just an endless yawning silence in a world held in stasis. As I ride off into the outer darkness, I carry with me the bitter knowledge that some truths are better left undiscovered. Some questions better left unasked. And as the boundaries of reality blur around me, as I feel myself slipping between the cracks of existence, I understand at last the true meaning of eternity. Not just the endless march of years, the weight of memory, the burden of knowledge, and the cold comfort of duty in a universe vaster and stranger than I could have ever imagined. I ride on into a night without end, a cosmic shepherd in a reality too vast for mortal minds to comprehend. And somewhere in the depths of time and space, a curious soul stirs, unknowingly setting in motion the cycle that might one day bring me release. Until then, I roam, I watch, I maintain the balance. I am the gunslinger, and the cosmic tapestry is my frontier. And that was The Gunslinger by D.R. Wisniewski. A good reminder not to set your aspirations too high. You might end up higher than you think. A little about the author. D.R. Wisniewski is a writer and IT analyst from Kansas City, Missouri. He's a fan of all things horror, particularly of the cosmic variety. He's working on a book of Western horror stories as we speak, and he hopes to release it sometime next year. We'll keep you posted. Hey, thanks, DR.
And do old Drew Blood a favor, would you? Subscribe to his podcast wherever you do your listening and leave him a 5-star review and a kind word, even if you're listening on YouTube. He needs soldiers on all fronts to win this battle, and he appreciates it. To hear a premium ad-free edition of tonight's and all the other episodes, visit SimplyScaryPodcast.com today and click Patrons in the upper menu. You'll find yourself at ChillingTalesForDarkNights.com, where you can become a patron for as little as $5 per month and get access to their entire audio archive, all ad-free and available to download or stream. Thank you for your time and for supporting our sponsors. When you support our sponsors, you support this show. If you happen to use Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube, you can follow and subscribe to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights there, where you'll get all the latest updates and new releases and have the chance to interact with them each and every week. Oh, and you can find Drew Blood on Facebook and Instagram, and sometimes Twitter. The Drew Blood's Dark Tales podcast is accepting submissions, friend. If you've got a story or two you'd like to be featured on the show, send it to drewbloodhorror@gmail.com. If selected, you'll get the full treatment, 10 bananas.
Well, I'm afraid this is where we part ways, at least till next week. So grab a drink for the road, friend. They're not exactly cold yet, but they're a little less warm than they've been. We're getting there. May the wind be at your back, and may the road rise up to meet you. Don't forget to hug your boss today, and if you're self-employed, and go hug yourself. I know I will. good night, y'all.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.